Stay up to date on the green and gold all off season. The Green and Gold Fix podcast is brought to you by Potawatomi Casino Hotel. Luxury stay, elite play, unwind in sophisticated comfort. Win big, dine, and experience the events in Milwaukee.
The Ryan Bulaga Homer Hour with Rob Domofsky. And because he's nice, Ryan Bulaga always does the intro.
Rob, good evening. How are you?
I'm great, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Back in Green Bay?
Got back actually just a little bit ago. Had a little bit later flight, so running a little behind, but we're getting caught up.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Well, I want to just get into it. I don't want to get into any of the drama of the game. It's a win, so I'm happy with the win. Yep. I think everyone is. But I just want to get into a little bit about the defensive side of the ball and Rashawn and kind of the snap count. What have you heard about that? I mean, he's a starting defensive end. I mean, I think he's pretty high up there on our sacks for our team. He was really productive early to start this thing out. It's gone a little bit cold lately. What's going on with the snap count and kind of where he's at right now?
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up. We talked about it this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You know, if you look at his production the last few weeks, it's really, really dropped off a lot since early in the year. And, you know, I think early in the year, everyone's like, well, Rashawn Gary, he's going to benefit from Micah Parsons. And he did at the beginning, but he's not, you know, I don't want to say he's been exposed a little bit, but he kind of has been not as productive with opportunities that he should be capitalizing on. And so it's a bit of a concern. You know, they have played some teams that have gotten the ball out quick at times, not this week, not with Jameis, he did not, but there have been games where guys have gotten the ball out. But I do think they need to get him going again. They also need to figure out, you know, what a better rotation. You know, they're paying him a lot of money. He needs to be on the field more. But Enigbari, I think, played one or two more snaps than Gary, or at least if it wasn't more, it was right about the same. And then, you know, they should get Lucas Van Ness back.
Rob, he's got to be hurt. There's no other answer, is there?
Well, he's not on the injury report, and now they put everybody on the injury report. I mean, they put Christian Watson on the injury report because he was sore.
But like, isn't that what everybody would assume? Right?
Yeah, but it's. I don't think it is because the NFL, ever since the Lamar thing, what was that, 2-3 weeks ago? The teams were warned that you better put everybody who's got anything on the injury report, which is why they put Christian Watson on last week.
Okay.
So obviously he was just fine.
All right. Well, that's obviously something to follow. I mean, that's going to be to follow. And I mean, I doubt you'll get an answer from Matt on that at all. I doubt.
We didn't really ask a whole lot about defense today in the press conference. I shouldn't say we. My flight didn't get back till later, so I just had to listen to it. But you know, the defensive talk was mostly on, you know, missing opportunities to get takeaways. I mean, by LaFleur's count, they could have, should have had 5 interceptions. So and they ended up with 1. Now they did end up with takeaways on their final 2 defensive possessions, which, you know, obviously were huge. The Evan Williams one really being the critical one there. But I mean, from a defensive standpoint, the talk today was, you know, was mostly about that.
Got it. So what, I saw you report it earlier today, and obviously it's always developing, but I saw you report that the Jacobs injury is not too serious. What do you know now about it now that the day's gone on a little bit more?
Yeah, so I'll just real quick take you through how it kind of went down. Yesterday after the game, LaFleur said he was concerned. Well, I checked into it with some people and was told that, you know, there's no long-term concern. Then this morning, the test came back and there was no structural damage. And I was told he was week to week with even possibility of possibly playing this week. And then LaFleur shockingly gave more detail, which he doesn't usually do on injuries. And he said, it's actually just a contusion that swelled up. So, and he blamed it on the turf. He must've banged his knee, hard on the turf. And it caused some sort of a contusion, which I guess is a cut or a bump. The interesting thing too, and I didn't notice, this is one thing that I did not notice watching the game live. And maybe it was, I watched some of the All 22 film, but did not watch the TV copy today. And maybe this was on the TV, but I didn't see it. He said Romeo Dobbs had to come out a couple times because he was getting those rubber pellets from the field turf in his eyes. And then after the game, his eyes looked like they were swollen, like he had gotten in a boxing match because it irritated his eyes so much. I don't think that had anything to do with the drops. In fact, I think it was after he had the drops in the game, but I did not notice that. Maybe you guys saw it on TV, but I did not.
I mean, there was a lot of beads flying up. It seems like they add more to that field because of the bad rep it gets to try to soften it up and make
it. The interesting thing too, Brian, I was on the field after, you know, several hours after the game doing my TV responsibilities, and I didn't realize. I mean, they take a pretty massive machine over that field to strip the paint off of it. They had to take the Giants paint up. I assume the Jets must have the next home game, or maybe there's a college game there or something. But I mean, when they rake that paint off the field, I mean, you should see what's stirred up out of that thing. Yeah. So I don't know, man. Like if I were there, I would not necessarily want to play on that field. If you know, I don't know if players think of that when they're like at free agency and they're, you know, teams are talking to them if they take that into consideration. But, man, I would not want to play on that field every week as a home field.
I'm fairly certain it gets rated the worst field, like, every year. I mean, I'm fairly certain it does. I mean, it's well known for that. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
This game, I felt like Christian Watson kind of stood out as him trying to claim that number one spot, right? Like filling that void at Tucker Kraft. What say you about that? Do you think that he should be that guy?
Well, here's the thing about him, and like I we should go back and look through you know, his game logs over his career. But what did he have? 5 targets yesterday, 4 catches for 46 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
Like when has Christian Watson ever been targeted like more than 7 or 8 times? Like that's where they need to get to with him. And you know, he's not just a guy who lines up wide and runs go routes. I mean, his touchdown, the second one, was out of the slot. It was a slot fade. Like, this guy can run routes. He can run the whole route tree. He's not just a deep threat. They need to put him more in positions to where he's a primary target, primary read, because he is, you know, clearly shown that he's not only back from his knee injury and back to as good as he was before, if not better, but that he can handle you know, he can handle what they're throwing at him now, so why not throw at him more often? And I mean, his hands have been good. His speed is good. So I think you're right, Brian. I think he needs to become that for them. And you know, we could see Jaden Reed in a couple of weeks. In fact, one thing that LaFleur hinted at today wasn't definitive, but you know, sort of said we'll see when asked whether the practice window could open for Jaden Reed and Marshawn Lloyd this week. So we could be getting, you know, back to getting Reed back soon. But in the meantime, you better take advantage of what Christian Watson can give you.
Absolutely. Do you think, I mean, I guess from what Matt talked about after the game, and I don't know, I didn't watch his presser today, what'd they say about how the interior and really Sean Ryan held up in his first start as center? Did anyone talk about that or how he did or
about that? Yeah, they were for the most part happy. There was one play, and I don't, you know, not sure if this was Sean Ryan's fault, but there was one play where Dexter Lawrence was, LaFleur actually said this, he was supposed to be double teamed and no one blocked him at all. Like, I mean, that, and he lines up in the interior most of the time. Not saying it was Sean Ryan's fault on that particular play, but that's an assignment communication thing where, you know, the center probably is making that call, or Jordan's making that protection call. So that was, and I remember the play live where it's like, Dexter Lawrence, you might want to block him. Like, he's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
And then listening to LaFleur say it was supposed to be a double team and it was a zero team because nobody blocked him. I mean, you know, we're nitpicking here. But for the most part, you know, the obvious 2 snaps that, and, you know, I talked to Sean after the game too. He's like, yeah, they were bad snaps. Like, he didn't blame the weather. He didn't blame the wind, although it was really windy. He just said, I need to be better on those 2. But you know, I mean, they avoided disaster on those 2 snaps. So, you know, I guess it's okay. But yeah, I think overall they were pretty pleased with that, and pretty pleased that, other than the quick, I think Zach Tom came out for like 3 plays. Other than that, they finished the game with the same offensive line that started it.
Yep. Yeah. I'm not going to go like you. You mean you kind of said I'm nitpicking like the guy that started his first game at center had bad snaps. Like I could have told you there's a good chance that could maybe happen. Like, there's a good chance that that could potentially happen to the guy that starts his first game at center. Maybe that could happen, but I kind of agree. I think overall, obviously that's a communication error letting Dexter Lawrence cut loose. There's an issue there. But I think overall, I think he did okay.
In a big picture, Brian, this isn't offensive line related. They won the game, and Jordan said afterwards it's exactly what they needed, and I couldn't agree more. But the bottom line is with 4.5 minutes left in the game or 5 minutes left in the game, they were still down 20-19. Like it was, it was not a, start to finish game. And, I think with this next stretch coming up here, I really believe that, these three division games here, starting with Minnesota on Sunday and then Detroit on Thanksgiving and then Chicago, two of those three are at home. To me, at 6-3-1, I think if you get two of those games of the three, you feel pretty good about where you're at because, looking at the standings this morning, there's basically, I think it's basically eight teams in the NFC that are at the, five, six win or better mark. And then there's a bunch of teams way back with three wins. It could very well come down to four teams for the final three playoff spots. I think the AFC's got way more teams that are vying for playoff spots. The way the NFC looks right now, there's four teams for three spots, and one of those teams is Carolina at 6-5. So, don't know that the road to the playoffs is all that difficult, even if they end up, only at 9 or 10 wins.
All right, Rob, I got to do this because I'm obsessed with Savion Williams. 9 games, 9 catches, 45 yards. 10th catch for 33 yards, arguably the biggest catch. Can you ever remember a player who had done so little? Nothing.
Yeah.
1 yard, I believe, I want to be accurate, against Philly, he did have 2 catches for 2 yards. That is part
of bubble streams.
Yes,
yeah.
is part of that kind of a play. You bring up a name, I want to look it up. I don't know that there is one.
I mean, the first name that comes to mind, and this probably guy had more production than that, but was Corey Bradford way back when. He would just all of a sudden out of nowhere make like a 60-yard catch, and after he had nothing for weeks. But I think Savion Williams, they hope, ends up as a better player than Corey Bradford. I do think it's another that play was a F it and throw it down the field play because Jordan was backpedaling and fading away on that.
Yeah, that was a
desperation. Yeah, and credit to Savion for making the play, but it's not like they designed the play to necessarily get a deep shot to Savion Williams.
All right, well. He's there. Let's hope it's the beginning of something because otherwise they should maybe all send him a thank you. If they make the playoffs, it's arguable if it's close that this may have been a huge part of it. I think that one play.
That play, yeah, third and 10, and they were going nowhere. So that was a huge play.
All right, Brian, you got any you get to close?
I guess my question is, from an overall defensive standpoint, did they walk away feeling okay, even with Jameis kind of having a decent day, right? Jameis having a decent day against them. How do you and they ran the ball pretty good. The Giants ran the ball pretty good. How did they feel defensively walking out?
Yeah, I think they felt like we maybe regressed a little bit, but maybe we were allowed to given the two unbelievable games that we played the last 2 weeks. Some games it's going to happen. You're going to give up some yards. I think it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning is that they knew that they needed to take advantage of some of those takeaway opportunities and didn't. And they knew Jameson was going to give them opportunities because that's his MO and they didn't take advantage of it. So that's where I think the defensive guys are like, look, we were, for the most part, in the passing game, in pretty good position. We just got to make those plays.
Thanks, Rob.
Yep. All right, we'll see you guys.
Rob Domofsky. More Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. After I do mention that running a business means taking care of your team and your bottom line. For over 50 years, Chiganiac Planning has helped small businesses build smarter, more affordable medical and employee benefit plans. When you do it well for that long, you're that good. From health insurance to customized coverage options, Saganiac Planning's experts make it simple to protect your people and your future. Saganiac Planning, your partner in planning confidence. Visit SaganiacPlanning.com or call John Saganiac Jr. Remember the number, just 783-262-783. Roger Maris, 6161. And Window Nation, 90% customer satisfaction, and they can do it right now. Not now. Right now, they can install in one day, depending on the size of the job. And this month, you'll save big, 50% off all window styles. Plus, you could get 0% financing for 5 years. Window Nation, lifetime warranty, A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Don't miss out. 50% off, zero interest for 5 years. Get it done. Not now. Right now. Sale ends soon. Visit windownation.com. More Brian Bulaga next.